Our Supreme Father or dear most friend or dear most lover, He never rejects us. Although we have rejected Him, although we have forgotten Him, but He did not reject us, nor did He forget us. So He, although we leave Him, but He goes wherever we go. And that's why the Lord is present in everybody's heart in the form of Paramatma, Super Soul. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddeshe Arjuna Tishthati. Krishna is telling Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Arjuna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or I, as the Super Soul, am present in everybody's heart. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everybody's heart. And He is waiting for the living entity to turn His face towards Him. Rejecting God, we all are suffering. But the way to get rid of this miserable condition is to surrender to the Lord or establish our lost relationship with the Lord. When we re-establish our lost relationship with the Lord, then immediately we become joyful. Of course, here again I'll repeat that same point. There is no question of a Hindu God or a Muslim God or a Christian God and so on and so forth. God is God. And the religion actually means the process to establish our relationship with the Lord. It is not that different religions have different gods or different religions are showing different ways to approach God. No. There is one God, and the way to approach Him is also one. So in that respect, there is one religion. Unfortunately, less intelligent people have made all kinds of discriminations and sectarian, they have imposed all kinds of sectarian concepts on different religious truth or religious processes, which has caused a lot of damage to this world and which is completely bewildering innocent people. But real religion is one, and real religion's aim is to take everyone back to Godhead, help everyone to establish a loving relationship with the Lord. That is the religion, and that religion must be followed by everybody. If we do, then there won't be any misconception about religion. Nowadays, different kinds of religion are simply causing disparity instead of unity. Once, when Prabhupada was in America, some Christian priests asked Prabhupada, "Why are you converting these Christian boys and girls into Hindus?" Now Prabhupada said, "No, I'm not converting the Christians into Hindus or Christians into Jews or Jews into Muslims and so on and so forth." He said, "I'm simply making better Christians out of the Christians, better Jews out of the Jews, better Hindus out of the Hindus, and better Muslims out of the Muslims." So when we practice this process of loving devotional service to the Lord, then we are perfectly situated in whatever religion we have inherited from our parents. And when we begin to love God, then we become a perfect Christian, we become a perfect Jew, we become a perfect Muslim, we become a perfect Hindu. But when we reject God and get caught up with all kinds of rituals, that causes all the problems. And that, instead of creating peace and prosperity in the human society, it destroys the human culture. And that's exactly what is happening all over the world. In the name of religion, they are doing all kinds of irreligious activities. Instead of approaching God, they are going away from God. Anyway, so to teach how to go back to Godhead, how to develop a loving relationship with the Lord comes down to this material nature. Sometimes He Himself comes, sometimes He sends His messengers or His intimate associates. And whenever they come, they teach the same principle. And that principle is that we are suffering being isolated from the Lord, and if we want to be rid of that suffering, then we have to establish a loving relationship with the Lord. So in essence, all the religions are teaching the same principle, how to love God. When we consider the principal teaching, the most important instruction of Jesus, then we see that Jesus, what is the final instruction or the most important instruction of Jesus Christ? Love thy Father, the Lord, the God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So, the same principle, how to love God is the principle of religion. And love thy Father, the Lord, the God, with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And the same way Krishna comes and he gives the same instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokkhayishyami ma shuchah. Give up all kinds of nonsense activities that you are caught up in and simply surrender unto me. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. A very, very precise instruction. Sarva dharman parityajya. Give up all kinds of so-called religious activities and just surrender to me. Because religion actually means to be surrendered to the Lord. So when we become surrendered to the Lord, then we are perfectly situated in our religious conviction. And when we do that, then what is the benefit? Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokkhayishyami ma shuchah. I will deliver you from all your sinful reactions. And don't worry about it. So God is giving us the assurance that the moment we become surrendered unto Him, then He will take care of us. So He is so merciful that He comes down Himself and sometimes He sends His son, sometimes He sends His friends, sometimes He sends His associates, and they come and give us the same teaching. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Give up your nonsense activities and just surrender unto the Lord. And whoever came, whoever came in the bona fide line, if somebody comes, an unbona fide person, and claims himself to be God or something, then he will teach something different from this instruction. And this is how we can make out who is bona fide and who is bona fide and who is not bona fide. Nowadays we see that there are so many gods appearing like mushrooms in the Western world. It has actually become a very good business nowadays to come from India and start a religious, whatever you call it, a sect or whatever it is, and make them, pretty quickly they make some money. Today when I was driving from Lugano to Zurich, I just saw one of such Bhagavan's castle on the way. But the thing is, when we analyze their teachings, and if it doesn't fall in line with Krishna's teaching, we know that it is a farce. So bona fide teaching will always collide with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's where we see, when we go in the essence, we see that Jesus' teachings and Bhagavad Gita's teachings are non-different. In the essence, it's the same. The only difference is Jesus is propagating the teaching as the Son of the God, not the God, as the Son of the Lord, and Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, He is giving the teachings in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. But the essence is the same. The king himself comes, or king's representative comes, as long as the representative is bona fide, he will talk about the king. He will glorify the king. He will never try to glorify himself, or he will never collect the tax and spend it for his own sense gratification. That is the bona fide of that representative. So the same way, when the Supreme King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sends someone, he also speaks about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else. Especially not about himself. He talks about God and God's associates, God's nature, God's paraphernalia, God's pastimes. Everything connected to God is he describes, and thus he helps nature, God's paraphernalia, God's pastimes. Everything connected to God is he describes, and thus he helps the living entities to develop a loving relationship with the Lord. That we have noticed also very wonderfully in Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master. Like Prabhupada came, actually Prabhupada went to America at a time when many Indian Swamis went to America to start their religious business. But the difference between them and Prabhupada is that Prabhupada never propagated or never blown his own trumpet like the others. Like when you see the other groups, religious groups, we notice that they all are named after the person who was propagating that cult. I mean, you can consider every single religious group in the West. It is Mahesh Yogi, Rajneesh, Bal Yogi, they had their own society. But this society that was propagated, that was established by Prabhupada, is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is not an International Society for Bhakti Vedanta Consciousness, or International Society for Prabhupada Consciousness. It is International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Prabhupada never really presented himself as the center point. Prabhupada always presented Krishna for many, many years, even today. What we talk about in the Western world, even in India, people do not know that this International Society for Krishna Consciousness was established by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada always remained in the background and he put Krishna in the front. And he knew that, there was no question of knowing. Prabhupada simply presented Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why it worked. When practically all other religious societies are just simply fizzling out, this international society is becoming stronger and stronger. As the time passes, this society will become stronger and stronger. Because this society is simply glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not a cult that worships some individuals and puts the individual in the center and everything is done for the sake of the individual. Yes, it is done for the individual, and that individual is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why everyone is so perfectly situated. No one feels dissatisfied in this society. Actually, if this was a cult, if this was some unbona fide ritualistic society, then at least I know that I wouldn't have been in this society. Actually, in the beginning, I had my doubts also. And to talk about doubts, when I first saw the devotees, I liked it, but that was in 1970 in Hamburg. But I never thought of joining the movement. And then when I decided to take to spiritual life and went back to India, I was searching for 1.5 years for a guru, but I never thought that I would join ISKCON. And then finally, when one day I got a Prabhupada's book, I realized that this is the philosophy. And I realized that this is the process that I was looking for all this while. Because this is dealing with the absolute truth. When you look at this society from a distance, we may have all kinds of misconceptions. And I don't blame anyone for having misconceptions. Actually, yes, we are strange. With our shaved head, with our sikha, with our saffron robes. Yes, we do look strange. But we look strange from a distance. But when one comes close to us, I'm sure he will see that after all, we are not that strange. Or even if we may be a little strange, but we are not that bad. After all, a person who doesn't eat meat, who doesn't take intoxication, who doesn't indulge in illicit sex, and who doesn't gamble, must be a good man. Only a good man can follow these four regulative principles. And so, my earnest request to everyone is that please don't judge us from a distance. Please try to come close to us and find it out for yourself what we actually are doing. Anyway, so I wanted to speak on Lord Balaram's appearance, but I kind of sort of, you know, as I mentioned that for a initial speech, it is difficult because first of all I have to establish that Krishna is God, and then we can go into his pastimes. Like if we do not understand that Krishna is God, or God is the Supreme Personality with form and variegated qualities and entourage and paraphernalia, then it is impossible to go deeper into that philosophy. Anyway, so Lord Balaram, who is the elder brother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, he appeared before Krishna came. Actually, before coming to this material world, to this universe, to this earth planet, Krishna made the arrangements. And first, before him coming himself, he sent his father and mother, or I would say fathers and mothers, and then he sent his elder brother and other relatives and friends, and then Krishna appeared himself. So Balaram, he was actually a son, the seventh child of Vasudeva and Devaki. Vasudeva and Devaki are the father and mother of Krishna. And it so happened when the earth was very much troubled by the tyrannical demons, then the demigods, along with Vasudha, that is the mother earth, the Mother Earth actually went to Lord Brahma in the form of a cow, and with tears in her eyes she told Brahma about her distress, that how the demons were troubling her. So Brahma then decided to go to the Lord, and along with other demigods and Bhudevi, not Bhudevi, Vasudha Devi, went to the milk ocean, and there Brahma began to offer his prayers to the Lord. But then the Lord instructed Brahma in the heart that very soon he would descend to rid the earth planet of the miseries, and he would establish dharma. And he asked Brahma to tell the demigods to take birth in the Jodu and Vrishni dynasty. So this way the Lord predicted his advent, and he made arrangements that before he came, the other associates of him should take birth on this earth planet, and then he sent all his associates and friends, and as I mentioned, and in the meantime his father and mother got married. Vasudev and Devaki got married. Now the question may arise, how come Lord has father and mother? Actually the Lord is Ajo, means unborn, but in order to perform his pastimes, the Lord takes birth as a child of some of his devotees. He has explained it in Bhagavad Gita by saying Ajopi Shan Abhayatma. Ajo means unborn. Ajopi Shan Abhayatma Bhutanam Adi Ishwaram. That although I am unborn and eternal, and the Supreme Lord of all beings, but still, in order to give pleasure to my devotees, I take birth by my internal potency. In the material nature, we are born, changing one body to another due to our karma, due to our previous actions. But God doesn't take birth by being influenced by the karma. He appears by his causeless desire. He simply desires to be born, and he appears through some of his devotees, those who wanted to have him as their son. Devotees are related to the Lord in different mellows, as I mentioned. Those mellows are neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental and conjugal. Now some devotees are related to the Lord in parental mellow. Some devotees want to see Lord, want to get the Lord as their own son. Now when a devotee desires like that, then the Lord also allows them to have him as their son. And so the Lord takes birth through them as their child. So when his two great devotees, Vasudev and Devaki, got married, and after marrying Devaki, Vasudev was taking his wife to his palace, and at that time Devaki's cousin Kamsa was driving the chariot. So at that time there was an announcement from the sky. There was a celestial announcement that Kamsa, you are such a fool. You are so jubilantly you are taking your sister and her husband in your chariot, and you are personally driving the chariot, but you do not know that the eighth son of this sister of yours is going to kill you. So as soon as Kamsa heard this prediction or forecast, he immediately grabbed Devaki by her hair, although Devaki was his sister, cousin. But still he didn't have any mercy. I mean, Kamsa was a great demon. So he decided to kill her right there. So he grabbed her by her hair, and he pulled out his sword, and he was about to chop her head. But then Vasudev stopped Kamsa and said, Kamsa, you are such a great person. You should not kill a woman, because if you kill a woman, then everybody will look down upon you. that you are such a great, brave hero like you, kill the woman. Actually, in the Vedic culture, killing a woman is considered to be a great crime or great heinous act. So, this way he consoled Kamsa and said that, look, Devaki is not going to kill you. It is Devaki's eighth son is going to kill you. So, you don't have to worry about Devaki. When Devaki gives birth to her sons, I will bring the sons to you and you can do whatever you want to do with them. So this way Kamsa was pacified and Kamsa let Devaki go. And then when a son was born of Devaki, then Vasudev, true to his commitment, took the son to Kamsa. And Kamsa, he mellowed down and he felt that eighth son of Devaki is going to kill me, or so I have to be afraid of only the eighth son. So this is the first son, so I have nothing to fear from him. So he gave the son back to Devaki, Vasudev, and said, look, I mean, you take him back because I don't want to do anything to him because he's not going to cause any harm to me. But then Kamsa was advised by his friend that, look, you shouldn't take a chance like that. Actually, this instruction came from Narada, because Narada, who is a great devotee of the Lord, he wanted to hasten the advent of the Lord, if possible. So he tricked Kamsa to understand that this son, there is no way of knowing the eighth son is going, was it counted from the forward way or in forward progression or in backward progression. The first son could be the eighth son counting from the last son, right? So this way he made convinced Kamsa that, and Kamsa immediately went and killed the child. And not only killed the child, he put Vasudev and Devaki in prison. And so this way, year after year, they were giving birth to a son and they were brutally killed by Kamsa. So this way, six sons were killed one after the other. Then the seventh son is actually Baladev, Balaram, Krishna's elder brother. And when Balaram was 7 months old in the womb of Rohini, then womb of Devaki, then by Krishna's instruction, Jogomaya, Krishna's internal potency, took Balaram from Krishna's, Devaki's womb and transplanted him in Rohini's womb. Rohini, it was another wife of Vasudev, who was staying in Vrindavan under the protection of Nanda Maharaj. And of course this has been analyzed, why Balaram first came to Devaki's womb and then he went to Rohini's womb. That has been described as Balaram makes the arrangements of Krishna for Krishna's bed and Krishna's paraphernalia. So before Krishna arrived in Devaki's womb, Balaram went there and made all the arrangements for Krishna to come. And then after making the arrangement, he went to Rohini's womb, and then Krishna came as Devaki's son. And Balaram was born as Rohini's son. So this way Balaram appeared. So today is the day when Balaram appeared in Vrindavan. Balaram is actually Krishna's first expansion. And the same Balaram is again expanded himself as the Kshirodakshayi Vishnu And as Kshiradakshay Vishnu, he is present in everybody's heart as Paramatma, Super Soul. So actually the Super Soul in our heart is the expansion of Balaram or Balaram himself. And this Super Soul is the original Guru, Cheta Guru, the Lord who is present in our heart as the spiritual master. So Balaram is the spiritual master. And actually Balaram is the shelter of all living entities. So when the living entities go back to Godhead, then first they go back to Balaram. And then through Balaram, they go to Krishna. And this Balaram appeared again as Nityananda Prabhu. Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Balaram appeared as Nityananda Prabhu. Brajendra Nandanjai Shochishuto Hoilo Shei Balaram Hoilo Nitai. Brajendra Nandan Krishna became the son of Sachi Mata and Balaram became Nityananda. So in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, one has to approach Mahaprabhu through Nityananda Prabhu. Hano Nitai Bine Bhai Radha Krishna Paite Nai. Without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one cannot approach Radha Krishna. That is, without the mercy of Balaram, without the sanction of Balaram, one cannot approach Radha Krishna. Because our original shelter is Balaram. So we have to go back to our original shelter in the spiritual sky. Because Balaram is the source of all the living entities. And then from Balaram, we are engaged, by Balaram's mercy, we are engaged in devotional service to Krishna. So today is the appearance day of Lord Balaram, who came, very mercifully came to help us go back to Godhead. So let's take full advantage of his advent and glorify him so that his mercy can spread all over the world and thus the whole world can benefit. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question pertaining to this discussion? Yeah, I mentioned that Balaram actually expands first into Mool Sankarshan. First he expands into Sankarshan, right? So you see, in Vrindavan, Krishna expands into Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Then in Dwarka, Krishna further expands into Chaturbhuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So Krishna's expansion is Vasudev, Balaram's expansion is Sankarshan, right? And then Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And then further Balaram expands into Karanodakshay Vishnu, then Garbhodakshay Vishnu, then Kshirodakshay Vishnu, and then Anantashesh. So these are the five expansions of Balaram. Yeah, considering the temple as Dwarka or Vaikuntha. This is actually Vasudeva and Sankarshan. But they are non-different. Subhadra, nine. Subhadra and Krishna, nine. I'm saying in English here. So that Yogamaya actually went back to spiritual sky. She expanded into different forms of, like Durga, etc. And Subhadra is actually Balaram's sister. She is Rohini's daughter. Right? This Subhadra and that daughter of Jasoda, who Vasudev brought from Nandagram, is not Subhadra. Subhadra was born afterwards. Any other question? Everyone has his specific rasa, and when he goes back to the spiritual sky, then that rasa becomes manifest, and in that rasa he becomes related to the Lord, and accordingly he develops his spiritual form. The spiritual form is always there. Yeah. But when the Lord wants, then he can change the form. Because Lord is almighty. But normally, one remains in his eternal, that normally the form is eternal. But then again it is pointed out, but if the Lord desires, he can change the form of that individual living entity. Well, that's his inconceivable will. You see, when it's completely up to his desire. And of course, reason is there, but the reason is also inconceivable. Right? Because that is the nature of inconceivable. I mean, that's the inconceivable platform. From here, we cannot really reason it out, that why things happen. Yeah. Balaram actually, he laid down and he just disappeared. He just left his body after Krishna left. Left his body in, it says that he went back into the causal ocean. They say that actually Ananta Shesh came out of Balaram's body, and the Balaram's body was there, but Ananta Shesh came out. But we have to understand that even this body that he leaves behind is also spiritual. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha. His form is always Satchidananda. Even in our material eyes it may appear to be matter, but still it is transcendental. I think we stop now. So there is going to be